Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for the privilege, the honor, and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's get together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone for receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to our foundational scripture. And let's read that scripture we've been using for this teaching on renewing your mind for good success. And I will read this scripture from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible. So if you have found Romans 12, please go to verse 1 and 2, and I will read. And it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is." Amen. For the last few weeks, we have been discussing renewing your mind for good success. Renewing your mind for good success. Now, our title, Renewing Your Mind for Good Success, uses the word good, because success can come in all types of forms, and bad success is one of them. We, as New Testament believers should expect and strive for and receive success, the good success provided by Jesus Christ. Now, our last time together, we were discussing another principle, which was every thought has a life and death component attached to it. Every thought has a life and death component attached to it. Every thought, every idea, and every suggestion, no matter how innocent, how simple, or how casual they may appear, must be investigated. Once we allow a thought to have access into our minds, the nature or life within that thought is released into our minds and it begins its deceptive work. We are going to look at an event in the Bible to help us to understand this life and death component. So please go into your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. Now, in this chapter, we have the history of the church because Acts begins the history of the church and the new believers and their excitement in what God was doing in the early church and everyone brought into it. These new saints took their surplus and pooled together for the benefit of all. Now, that's interesting. The beginning of the church, the saints got together and they pooled their surplus and they benefited everybody in the church. Now, that's interesting because it said they took their surplus. So they must have more than enough to do what they had to do. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to take part in what was happening in the church, but Satan planted a thought in their minds, and it begins its deceptive work. Now, if you have found Acts 5, we're going to begin reading at 1 through 5. And it says, "But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.' Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things." Now, I want you to think with me for a moment. The property was originally Ananias and Sapphira's, and it was their right to give or not to give because it was their property. No one legally had the right to tell them that they had to give at all. The problem was that they bought a portion of what they received from the sale of the land and presented it as if it was the full amount of what they had received. That was a deception and an attempt to deceive the rest of the group into thinking that they were in with everybody else. That thought had a life and death component or compound to it. When Ananias bought the money and laid it on the table, the Holy Spirit alerted Peter, and Peter asked Ananias, "Did you sell the property for X amount of dollars?" And Ananias replied, "Yes, that is what we sold it for." But Peter responded, saying, "Ananias, Ananias, the Holy Spirit has revealed that you have lied. Why is it your own? And you could have done anything you wanted with it. You have lied to men, and you also have lied to God." Ananias had a heart attack and dropped dead. God did not kill Ananias because God is not in the killing business. The thought had a life and death component attached to it. You know, every time there is an earthquake in Southern California, people die as a result. It's not that the grounds open up and swallows them, but simply die from fright. They have heart failure. They can't deal with a sudden tremble, and they have heart failure. It's too great of a shock to their system. That's what happened to Ananias. Now, Sapphira came in a little while later, and God, who is so gracious, amen, he gave her an opportunity to repent. But she lied also, and she received the same fate as her husband. Now, that thought they accepted to hold back some of the monies for the sale of the property wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth their life to try to deceive the apostles over a few dollars. Ananias and Sapphira lost their lives because they accepted a thought that had a life and death component attached to it. Now let's look at another person in the Bible, Judas Iscariot, the traitor who sold Jesus to the religious leaders for merely 30 pieces of silver. Not gold, but silver. Does anyone know the value of 30 pieces of silver in today's market? Well, let me tell you what it is. It's exactly $264.60, today's value. That's what Judas would have received today if he was doing the treachery that he did back then. So go with me to the book of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13, and let's read verse number 2. And it says, "And supper being ended, the devil being already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." He put thoughts, ideas, and suggestions in his mind already to betray Jesus. They had a life and death component attached to them. He betrayed Jesus, and all he got was 30 pieces of silver. $264.60. Amen. What a tragedy. Not only was the deed that Judas did reprehensible, he was highly remorseful that he went back to the high priest and said, now let's see what he said when he went back to the high priest. So please go to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and we will read verse 3 through 5. And it says, "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.'" Now, it's very interesting that Judas would say this. He says, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. What is that scripture in Proverbs? And it said there's six things that the Lord hates, and one of them is one who sheds innocent blood. So we see here the same thing happened to Judas. He became a victim of betraying innocent blood. And then verse number four says, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now, after he betrayed him, he realized the awful mistake he had made. And that's what thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that don't line up with the Word of God. They're having you do all kind of crazy stuff, and then it'll have you do harm to yourself. He went out and hung himself. If you look at the world today, and you look at some of these mass murderers and other people that are doing things that are not in line with the Word of God, they end up hurting themselves, doing harm to themselves by committing suicide, because that thought, that idea, or that suggestion is not from God. Matter of fact, it comes directly from Satan. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions from the enemy cost Judas his life. Failing to thoroughly investigate every thought is as dangerous as failing to identify every person approaching the camp during wartime. You must be always ready to investigate every thought, whether it comes at a convenient time or not, to determine whether it agrees with Bible knowledge, our armor. It's impossible to stop thoughts from coming, but it is possible to avoid accepting the thoughts that are from the wicked one if we spend a little time investigating each one. Amen? Here is another principle. Limited Bible knowledge handicaps you. Limited Bible knowledge handicaps you. You are at a disadvantage if you do not have knowledge. Please go to the book of Hosea, chapter 4. Again, that's Hosea chapter 4. And please go to verse number 6. And it says, now this is God speaking himself. And it says, my people. So God is talking about his people, the children of Israel. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, please turn to the book of Isaiah 5:13. It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So that lets us know that knowledge has to be important. Because he's saying that because my people don't have it, they are destroyed. But the children of Israel were stiff-necked, very disobedient people. Now turn to Isaiah 5. You there? Please go to verse 13. And this is God again speaking, and he says, therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. They have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. So knowledge is important. You know, limited Bible knowledge handicaps you. You can't do the things, all the things, properly and correctly without the correct Bible knowledge. Amen. Do you remember the first principle that I gave you when we began this teaching? It was knowledge used under or in its proper condition wins battles. Knowledge used under or in its proper condition wins battles. Now think with me for a moment. This principle does not say knowledge wins battles, because it doesn't. Listen, every Christian has the knowledge of God. The word proper implies that there could be improper use of knowledge. Amen. Because you can improper use something. People do it every day. Misuse knowledge that they have. You can see how it is on the news. All the bad knowledge. People supposed to be highly educated, but really they became fools. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Thinking they have the proper knowledge, but really and truly, it is improper. If you don't use it correctly, limited Bible knowledge puts you at a disadvantage. Please go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 3. And let's go to verse number 15 through 16. And it says, but sanctify the Lord in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a question for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Verse 16, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Amen. See, if you are limited in your Bible knowledge, then you are not going to be able to give an answer to those who want to know the things of God. Amen. That's why the scripture tells us to study, to show yourself approved unto God, not unto man, but unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when somebody comes to you with a sincere question in regards to the word of God, you will be able to give them an answer. Amen. And you know what? It will be the correct or the proper answer. Amen. If you are limited in your knowledge, how are you going to give an answer to those who want to know the things of God? That is why studying is so important, and why we here at Kansas City Christian Faith Center teach the word. That is so important. Now, preaching is good also, but I believe preaching has its limitations, because preaching is inspirational, and that is for the basically non-believer to inspire him to come to commit to becoming a new person in Christ Jesus. Whereas teaching, it is informational, which gives you the knowledge to mature in all areas of the word of God. Amen. Amen. Teaching is so very important. And that's what we lack today, is teaching on the things of God. Amen. That is how God works. And we have to learn to work with God. Amen. The disadvantaged Christian is the one who has limited or no Bible knowledge. He accepts almost any thought that comes along. He is an easy victim because he has no point of reference to determine whether a thought is true or not. And as I've tried to make clear, Satan is a deceiver. He's a liar. And every thought he shoots is going to sound reasonable. It's going to sound as if it makes sense. Things may seem right and be as wrong as a $3 bill. Our perception is not perfect, so we need some way to measure. Just as we have rulers and tape measures so we don't have to guess about the length, the Bible is the perfect measuring tool, the Christian's ruler. That's what the Bible is. It is the Christian's ruler. You can put it up against any thought, and that will settle any questions. Amen. Unfortunately, I can't tell you when you turn a certain age that you will no longer need to investigate each thought, idea, or suggestion that comes your way. I would be lying. I don't care how old you get, the thoughts, ideas and suggestions will come because Satan will never rest. There's a scripture in the Bible that says God never sleeps nor slumbers. And I hate to inform you, neither does the devil. The devil will continue to be our enemy until Jesus physically returns to set up his kingdom or until our death. I want to encourage you to begin forming the habits of examining each thought by asking yourself the question, does this thought agree with my armor? Does this thought agree with the word? Well, everybody's doing it. That's what they say. Well, you know what? Since everybody's doing it, I'm going to have to do it too because I'm out of time. But let me invite you to our Sunday broadcast via way of teleconferencing by simply dialing 605-303-4834. Access code 997-020-POUND. We start our services every Sunday at 2 p.m. sharp. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.